Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a special KMOX sports presentation.
Gunnarsson to O'Reilly to Gunnarsson. He scores!
Welcome to the Club Fitness Expanded Pre-Game Show.
Boom, boom, Gunnarsson!
Club Fitness. Join Club Fitness in June for only 24 cents.
It couldn't happen to a better guy. He practices that shot all the time in pre-game skates, so it's good to see it go in.
The Club Fitness Expanded Pre-Game Show is on now on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
Already a Sunday to remember in downtown St. Louis, just more than 2 hours away from dropping the puck in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Blues and Bruins at Enterprise Center. Welcome in to our extended pregame coverage. Chris Raby with you, along with Alex Ferrario, Amy Mark Scores, Chris Kerber, Joey Vitale here as well. We have guests aplenty over the next couple of hours, taking you up until Game 6, Blues and Bruins, with the Blues holding a 3-2 series lead, 20 minutes away from, kicking things off with some guests, I guess, because we are going to keep rolling them through throughout the entire evening, and really excited about the lineup we have for you, the evening we have for you, and eventually a hockey game. So, Alex, Amy are here, Curbs and Joey as well. Ryan Schulte is with us on site, Sam Masterson, Ben Boyd, Zach Schmidt back in our network studios, and guys, holy cow, getting downtown, getting over to the rink, both this morning and now just in the last hour or so, seeing the overhead shots of downtown St. Louis. It's incredible. The party has already started, and it is just a sea of humanity and quite the volume of excited and eager Blues fans, Curbs, out there to get things going.
Yeah, I hope just everybody keeps their heads about you, too, and is smart about it all. And, you know, the reality of it is it could be one hell of a party after 60 or more minutes of hockey tonight, or it could be anxiety and stomach ache time for 48 hours as you wait for a game 7. And that's all to be determined. And I can give you plenty of arguments for both scenarios, Joe.
You know, Chris, we've sat up here in the booth all season long, and the one question we always ask each other before every game is, how you feeling? What are you thinking? And we've kind of gone all year saying, I'm not really sure what to think, and I guess it's no different for me tonight here in Game 6. I really don't know, because you're right. It could go either way. Strengths and weaknesses from both sides. It could be a heck of a story. It could be a bit of a letdown and a better story on Game 7. We do not know yet. I know if you're coming to the game, make sure you wear comfortable shoes, because this thing is going to be a standing room only, I think, for most of the night.
It's quite a scenario. And we knew a couple things we know for sure. This is the final home game of the season. The fans have been given one heck of a ride. Even as Joe Buck mentioned on the national broadcast to Cards Cubs last night, you know, you're a proud Blues fan that's just proud of the team to have gotten to this moment, and you see where the chips fall. It's pretty obvious over the last 48 hours when you hear those with experience that get to this point in time in their season, they talk about drowning out the noise. The noise is loud. The noise is intense. And this is when you rely 100% on the leadership of your hockey ops side, your head coach, and your leadership in the locker room. It has to be strong. They have to make decisions for everybody. Everybody has to understand them. And only then can you potentially play the best possible game.
Well, you know, Chris, we were heading to Boston for Game 1, and we were on the plane early speaking to Larry Robinson, and if there's anyone who's got a lot of Stanley Cups under his belt and understands what it takes this time of the year, it is Mr. Robinson, and he was talking about that, and he used that phrase, and ignore the noise. It's something that Craig Berube has harped on from the get-go of this playoff postseason. I think it's all coming from Larry Robinson, again, who's got the experience. The Blues have done a terrific job of that. I think they can learn a lot from what happened here in Game 3. I think this place was energetic, enthusiastic. It was beyond anything of anyone's wildest imagination and dreams as far as the pregame, the noise. And, you know, I think the Blues maybe didn't handle that necessarily all that well. They had a great rebound in Game 4. It was a much better refocus from Craig Berube and staff, saying that, guys, I know a lot's going on, families and tickets and noise and, you know, crowds and pregame stuff and all the kind of stuff, but we got to focus on our game. This is about the game of hockey, and I think that was a great learning experience from them going from game three to game four, and let's see if they can carry that from game four to game six here tonight.
A lot of noise about the officiating from the last game. I've never would in my life would have imagined the whining coming out of Boston. But holy smokes, there's enough that they could probably bottle, ferment, and make a lot of money on. It was something else. The reality of it is much like the hand pass game in Game 3, just because the call wasn't made does not guarantee that the Blues would have won that game, nor does it guarantee that Boston would have come back. There's been a lot missed. There's been a lot made of it. Both coaches were pretty heavy at one point in time in the season or in this series about it. The reality of it is that was not mentioned by either coach going into this one.
Well, I mean, probably not the best, most poetic way to say it, but I just wish Bruce Cassidy and everyone else would just shut up. I mean, it just, quite frankly, I'm looking at Marchand go down low on Tarasenko, take out his knees right in front of the Boston Bruins bench. To me, that's almost a suspendable hit, and there was not even a call in the play. Of course, there's no suspension as Marchand's going to be in the lineup here tonight. Listen, there's whacks, there's hacks, there's trip both ways. You know, I think it's on the coaches of the Boston Bruins and the leaders of the Boston Bruins just to tell their group just to zip it and go play hockey. I mean, this is Stanley Cup final. Get off your feet. If you're not hurt, if you don't bleed, if you don't losing a limb, you get back on your feet and you play the game. You play it whistle to whistle. If there's a call, you play it to the call. If there's not a call, you play it to another whistle or ends up in the back of your net or icing, whatever. But, you know,
they did their captain a real disservice last game, in my opinion.
You think so?
I really did. I think what Zdeno Chara did in the last game, what he represented is everything that this game is about. From the type of person he is, the type of career he is, in my opinion, a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
The toughness that he showed, even to show up with your mouth wired shut into a press conference.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is amazing. And obviously his team did not follow him in that suit in that game. I don't expect that to happen tonight, Joe. As good as Boston was in the first period of that last game, the Blues have to find a way to stem a tide and not let that happen tonight.
No, I think you're right. I think that for the Blues, it's pretty much do exactly what you've been doing all along. If you do get calls, you go to the box. And I mean, the encouraging thing is if the Blues end up do taking some penalties here tonight, the penalty kill has been really good. I mean, Boston over the last two games is an 0-for-5 right now. Alexander Steen was chatting with me a little bit this morning. I asked him about the adjustments that were made, and they say they feel very confidently playing that physical style, and if they do take penalties, they probably will at some point tonight. The kill has been giving them confidence now in the last couple games, so that's a good sign. You know, Craig Berube talked about it this morning. He said this doesn't change our game at all. We want to play physical. We always want to do it within the rules, though. Keep your hands down, keep your sticks down, move your feet, and finish every check, and you do that, and we've seen what the physicality punishment they put on the Boston Bruins early in the series, and it's starting to wear on them, so I don't expect Craig Berube, the staff, the players to change their style of game here tonight.
You know, the message from Bruce Cassidy to his team is we got to spoil the party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily. I mean, this is the situation that everyone knows what could possibly happen here tonight. And the Boston Bruins, they feel confident knowing that they come here, they win a game, and they're taking it back home. They play terrific hockey at home. They found themselves in the exact same situation to start the playoffs versus Toronto. They were down 3-2. They came back and they won that series, obviously. There's a good handful of guys, Curbs, who was on this team back in 2011. They were behind on the Vancouver Canucks 3-2. They come home, they win a game in Boston.
Five of them, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then they go with Vancouver, and they win game seven. This is a confident group. They have personnel. They have experience on that bench. They have been in the exact same situation they are tonight. They've come on the positive end of it. About 8 years ago, they feel like they can do it again. But tonight, it's about that first game for the Boston Bruins. They come out here, they spoil the party, and they feel very confident they can still win this series.
There have been a good number of playoff seasons for the St. Louis Blues where at the end of the playoffs, you're saying your best players needed to be your best players, and they weren't. Mm-hmm. That cannot be said this year. Tarasenko's had a terrific playoff series season. Jaden Schwartz has had a terrific playoff season. And don't look now. Ryan O'Reilly just 1 point off the pace of leading the playoffs and scoring, and he has had a terrific Stanley Cup final.
All the stars are coming out. You know, Curbs, we go back to San Jose. After game one, Craig Berube called out Vladimir Tarasenko. He said, I needed Vladdy to be harder. We got to be harder in areas. He's got to be better away from the puck. He basically called out one of the leaders of this Blues group. Ever since that call out, Vladdy in game two on fire. He has not stopped. He's shooting the puck. He's working. He's physical. He's back checking. He's defending hard. That's just one player. Ryan O'Reilly, you mentioned him. To me, I called it a couple games ago in Boston when I'm watching him play. Ryan O'Reilly is back. All the things that made him so successful this year, he's doing them. He's stick checking. He's back checking. He's defending hard. His faceoffs were incredible last game in Boston. He's starting to do all the little things, and it's adding to points, which is a great thing. But, Curb, speaking of best players, Jordan Binnington was the best player on the ice in Game 5. He is going to need to match that or maybe even ratchet up another level if the Blues want to have success here tonight.
Which you know is hard to imagine.
And it's going to be hard, but I'm telling you right now, he has got to be the Blues' best player tonight.
So Jordan Binnington will get the call. Chris Raby, I know a lot for you guys to continue to discuss. Robert Thomas returning to the lineup due to the suspension to Ivan Barbashev. You've got the series that Alex Pietrangelo has had. He's plus five in this series. The Blues have shut down Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak, Krejci, whoever's been on right wing on that second line. No points, 5-on-5 for them. And even DeBrusque, the point that he had, it was 5-on-5. The goalie hadn't quite gotten to the bench when he scored that delayed penalty goal. So you can make an argument there. Blues have gotten the job done to this point. The hardest win that this franchise has ever tried to have is going to be tonight, though. And it's against a team that's got a winning pedigree and knows how to extend a series.
We'll talk X's and O's. We'll talk big picture. We'll talk with alumni. We'll talk just kind of about this ride. And I think something that struck me, I've been watching all year in the dressing room at that wall where they put the pucks from every win. And I know Craig Berube took down the standings at one point, but every game they win, they put a puck in from the game. They pick the puck off the ice, skate in, put it up on the wall. And for a while this year, there weren't that many pucks in there. And now it's completely full, and there's only space for one more puck at the top. And I started counting and doing some math and looking at the schedule yesterday, and I asked Petro about it. And he said, yeah, well, there's only one more game to win. And I said, but there's 60 pucks up there, and you could not fit one more puck in. There's 60 slots. They won 45 regular season games. And now have won 15 games in the playoffs. Who would have known that you would have won 45 regular season games?
Well,
45 plus 15 plus 1 is 61. And that's just another thing that I was walking out of the building this morning saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's been a heck of a ride to this point.
I will give you one quick thing before you go to the break. The Blues have won 15 games this postseason. They won 15 games from the opening night until January 2nd. Okay.
That's a long time.
And they have more wins than anyone by a wide margin since Jordan Binnington got in the net. All right, that's Curbs and Joe. We'll be back with you guys for pregame. Alex and Amy are along as well. We're going to take a break. We'll kick things off. Kelly Chase is going to be with us. Cam Jansen this hour. EJ Raddick from NHL Network. We're going to visit with so many folks. Mike Emmerich, Bob Plager. The list goes on and on. We're getting ready for the Blues and Bruins Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Club Fitness Expanded Pre-Game Show. Club Fitness. Join Club Fitness in June for only 24 cents.
To O'Reilly, to Gunnarsson. He scores! Boom, boom, Gunnarsson!
On your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
It's our extended pregame coverage in 2 hours and 1 minute. 121 minutes. We'll be dropping the puck on Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. I told Cam Jansen there would be no math, but he joins us in our booth.
If you need help with math, of course, you come to me.
I do. Well, it's funny. Now that we all have iPhones in our pockets, we never have to do
math. That's why I'm good.
Yeah. Speaking of math and counting down minutes and hours, a day like today, would you have rather been busy running around doing 18 radio shows and podcasts with us and this and that, or has it been nice to soak it in and I'm sure be around the family and get down to the rink ready to go?
I'm ready to work, man. Like, I'm ready to work. Whatever happens tomorrow or tonight, I know it's going to be a long day.
You handed Ben Boyd an invoice on your way.
You like that?
Here,
no,
yeah.
I want to be in this. You know what I mean? I don't want to sit back and I want to.
Oh, you're in it. It's weird. It's a Sunday, though. It feels like a Monday.
You're right. I like that, though. You get up. You kind of chill. No one's on the road. You come down here. Although, when you do get into St. Louis, if you look on the screen right now, which you don't do because that's bad radio because you can't do it, it's unbelievably jam-packed downtown. It's just a sight to be seen. Kate and I cruised around the rink. We got here a couple hours ago. Just soaked everything in. And it was funny. We walked by the big glass where all the fans are waiting to come in. Looked like a zombie horde coming in. And I'm like waving to everybody. Everybody's getting so pumped up. This is going to be fantastic. The boys need to do what they need to do on the ice, of course. But everything up to this point has just been a whirlwind. And it's bigger than I expected. It's bigger than I expected.
Well, and I'd like to point out the last time Cam Jansen was in the middle of it all, I believe you pulled a hamstring, right, trying to jump over the section wall?
That was embarrassing.
Kate was pretty embarrassed for
that. That might happen again. I'm sure we'll go Facebook Live at the end of this bad boy if everything goes the way it's supposed to. But, yeah, look, the emotions are going to be here.
Oh, yeah.
The alumni box is going to be packed, 50-plus. It's just you need to get in the building. And it's so funny, all my buddies and from all over the city, or some guys have spent $5,000. Some guys are still waiting for the tickets to drop. That's probably not going to happen. But if it does, good luck. But you need to be here. If you're not here, be in St. Louis. Be outside. Bring a cooler. I think everybody's bringing. Look at that. They're all packed out there having coolers like they're watching a Led Zeppelin out at Verizon Wireless Center. So this is incredible. And again, it's bigger than I expected, and that's a great thing.
Cam, I know guys are still filtering into the alumni booth, but you have your legendary status in the alumni community. What's the buzz in that alumni group right now?
Well, there's probably going to be a lot of Budweisers cruising around.
What? No.
Look, guys are coming from everywhere. And for us, Jamie and Yaker and the guys that have worked for the Blues and have been around and have to dissect this team all year long and went through this roller coaster together, I think there's a little bit maybe more of an emotion. But then you look outside the box and you look at the guys that aren't here all the time but still play for the team, that still know all of us, and they're like, oh, my God, I need to be there. And for them to fly wherever they're from, Canada, Colorado, wherever it is, they're coming to St. Louis to enjoy this and to see what's going to happen tonight. Could go either way, of course. I know I got to keep bringing that up, but it is what it is. But it's good to see all these other alumni that aren't part of the Blues come back to be a part of the Blues again.
Kim, what's the coolest text message, phone call, conversation you've gotten or had over the last two and a half months?
Are we on Sirius Satellite? Okay, then I
can't
tell
you. This is not spitting chicklets.
I'm sure you've had some incredible conversations, and you've had people that mean a lot to you reach out, people that have been a big part of your NHL career, your life now. What's it been like to share that with
you? You know what? It's weird. Here's the funny one. You know what the funny tweets or, I'm sorry, texts that I get are, hey, you got any extra tickets? And I just completely ignore them. So those guys, okay, we'll push aside. But even just going to the gas station, going to Walgreens, and people weren't just like, come up like, hey, you're right. No, they're like giving you a hug. They're giving me hugs and just the emotion that you see throughout the people in Eureka and South County and wherever the case is that have been watching this Blues organization for as long as they've been alive. And just to see the emotion through hugs and things like that, it's just fun. I'm a huggy kind of guy.
Give me a hug. And I imagine guys that you played with, whether it was for a game or a season or 5 years or growing up, I imagine you hear from those guys. It seems like such a part of the hockey community that everyone pulls for the guys that are still in the middle of it.
It is funny. Even the guys that didn't play for the Blues that grew up in St. Louis, Brandon Bolig, Chris Weidman, guys like that, that are, you know, Bolig just retired, but he's like, oh, my God. You're having a time of your life down there. I'm like, absolutely. It's been a blast.
He brought the cup to Molly's and Soulard.
Yes, he did. He was cruising around St. Charles with that bad boy, too. I remember that. But, yeah, it's just everybody's on board. Everybody's engaged. And it's the hot spot to be tonight. And just look at all these people. They're going crazy already.
I give the city a ton of credit, too, because they had Coleman Race for the Cure yesterday. They flipped downtown overnight.
Yeah.
Put up additional screens outside for people that can't get in the building and be a part of it here. They're letting as many people as humanly possible be a part of it outside.
It looks like Woodstock. It looks like Woodstock out there. It's just fun. It's still surreal in a way. I mean, right? I mean, I still got to kind of look down the ice and be like, oh, I see the Stanley Cup final little tagline on the ice or whatever the case is, or see the patch on the guys' jerseys. We're three periods away. Maybe it goes in overtime, of course. I always gotta.
Come on now.
Oh, heaven forbid.
This is going to be a very, very difficult game, in my opinion. It could go either way. But the Boston Bruins aren't going to sit back and let this thing go by, easily by any stretch of the imagination. They have way too much pride. They've been here before. They have the veterans on this Boston team, have won Stanley Cups. We saw what happened in 2011. I don't want to be all depressed, but it is what it is. Let's be realistic here. They know how to come back in these situations. The boys have to come out firing.
Well, that's where I was going to go. You don't want to get too deep into the X's and O's now, because the big picture is the more important thing. But you are looking at a team that has a group of players, their core, that have done this before. Lost game five after being a 2-2 series tied and then go on to win two straight. So this will be the toughest game this team has ever played.
It will be the absolute toughest game. It will be the most nerve-wracking game, the most emotional game. But it's so funny. And Kirby could – you guys all know. We all in the locker room. We as media, as fans, we're panic mode all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we are. You go down that locker room. I remember you're right next to me, Alex. Mm-hmm. When I see Patty, I go, oh, Patty's a big one tonight. He's like, how's Kate doing? I go, no, don't worry about Kate. focus on the game. But you got to sit back and be like,
Cam's got sweaty palms.
He said today, he's like, I don't really feel like we've accomplished anything yet.
What?
I'm freaking out like no other. And Patty's just cool, calm. He's like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, I'm going to go play in the game. It's just they have a different mindset. This has been a grind. It's every other day. It's just another
game
for them.
Were you ever that calm?
Yes. Were when you? I played, well, no.
When you play, right?
No.
That's hard to believe.
No,
yeah, you don't seem like a calm kind of guy.
I'm not. But in a way to where I'm not overthinking everything like we do.
Yeah.
We overthink, but we that's our job.
You can block it out.
We're thinking about it all day long. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to do this? Those guys are just like, dude, I'm going to go home. I'm going to take my pregame nap. I'm going to get up. I'm going to come to the rink. And you know what I'm going to do at the rink? I'm going to do the exact same thing I've been doing for the past 7 months. The exact same thing. And they're going to go on the ice and do the exact same thing I've been doing for 7 months. That's what they're going
to
do.
You don't have to wonder how you're going to kill all day waiting for it.
Isn't that funny?
Like we do now.
Isn't it funny? It's crazy. Go ahead.
Cam, the physicality of this series, through the roof, going to be amplified even more tonight. The way the Blues win games is by wearing down opponents. Now, you know how to take a hit and throw a hit. What is it like to be on the receiving end of all those hits, and you start to probably look over your shoulder a little bit more, and just knowing that it's wave after wave of hits coming at you.
You're speeding up the play. I mean, watch Chara. He turned the puck over a couple times last game. I thought he played okay. He got rocked first shift.
Three times.
By first shift of the game by Braden Schenn. Chara comes up to Braden Schenn, saw Braden Schenn's numbers, was going to pin him against the boards. Schenn knew he was coming, knew exactly the big guy was coming, and he stuck his butt out, reverse hit him, put Chara down, rattled his cage a little bit there. Like, it takes a toll on you. You scurry, you hurry up plays, you rim around pucks rather than maybe stop, look at the ice, see what's open. You're always thinking. You could always avoid fights. Fights or whatever. You could always avoid fights. You could always say no. You cannot say no to a hit. You're going to have to take hits. They've been taking hits like crazy. Although we have too. Boston out hit us last game. Now ours are more effective, maybe. Probably ours, we hit harder because we got guys that are stocky that can skate. But it definitely takes a toll on you, and it's taking a toll on the series, and you can see them wearing down.
What's been your favorite moment of what's led up to this? And outside of, like, the clincher, do you have – or maybe this is the better question. This is what I asked Petro. Was there a moment when this team stopped surprising you? Because for a long time, it was – all right, they've won a couple in a row. Then it was, all right, they finally won three in a row. Then it was, all right, everybody's healthy. Then it was, all right, the playoffs are attainable. Nothing surprises me anymore. Things impress me. Was there a moment when this team this year stopped surprising you?
There was in the regular season, and then there was in the playoffs, too, because two different animals, okay?
You get, 100%.
Regular season, when it kept winning, I'm like, okay, these guys know how to win. Now, is that going to translate over to the playoffs? I don't know.
But we know they'll probably be there.
They'll be there. And they found a way to make the playoffs. At the last 6 weeks of the season, I'm like, nothing surprised me. Guys know how to win. But that Winnipeg series, and Craig Berube said the same thing when he was asked this question. What surprised you? When did you know this team was for real? And I believe he
game
said
five.
The game five. Was it when
they Schwartz, scored?
We scored
like
two
comeback.
Goals. And
Like it was like 30-something seconds left when Schwartz scored the game winner.
Against that team?
Yeah.
On the
that
road.
That Winnipeg team.
A team that was favored to be in the
down
Stanley
2-0
Cup.
Down 2-0, started the third, and to kill off a delay of game penalty.
Exactly.
With 4 minutes
and
left.
And then all the stuff beforehand with Benny. All that, just away from the game stuff that you just have to deal with. And they came, they're composed, they figured out, and they figured out how to win a dirty road game. And that's what Craig Berube said, okay, we have something here. And that opened my eyes up, too.
Well, have a great night. Enjoy it. Appreciate you swinging by.
Of course, man.
And also, shout out was in your stomping grounds before playing golf yesterday.
Oh, God's country.
Stopped at Poor Richards.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, if you just go, Cam Jansen, do they just give you a free bucket of Bud Light?
They do. Yeah. And chicken wings. Take advantage of it.
Just don't crash a car into the front door.
Don't do that. Oh, you'll have
great wings.
The great sneaky wings. They're great.
God's country.
It is God's country.
That's Cam Jansen. A quick break, and we're back with more. It's Extended Blues pregame with you for the next 2 hours until puck drop on KMOX. Join for 24 cents. Claves, I heard Shannon do that read on the Cardinal game the other day, and he was laughing about that. 24 cents. the things that make that man chuckle, and talk about a guy who's seen a lot of St. Louis sports. I was thinking about him and you, Claves, because the buzz at the ballpark around this team and people on the Cardinals side who know what this means to this city, people who have gone through it from the Cardinals, but also know what Blues ownership and Cardinals ownership mean to this city. It's been incredible to watch the organizations come together, and now hopefully the Blues raise a banner like the Cardinals have those 11 pennants at Busch.
Yeah, the bond that these two organizations share, they're stewards of our sports. I mean, they oversee it, and they want to make sure everybody understands that we're all on the same page. We're rooting for each other. And it's been fun to watch. And
you having fun yet?
Man, I've been having fun since this thing got started, man. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to inhale it slowly because, you know, it's one of those situations where we've all been around it and we've been close and this and that. But now you can see it. You know, you're over the last hill. So you just got to go out and I don't know what I can do. I mean, it's up to the players now. So you just hope that they go out and do what they're capable of doing.
Claves, how many years have you been covering this team?
Since 81.
Since 81. So you've built relationships with a majority of these alumni.
Yeah.
What do you think it means to all of the – I mean, we just heard Cam Jansen talk about it. I know you were out with Kelly Chase last night. But what do you think it means to these guys to not only be in this position where you're in the Stanley Cup Final, but to be one win away from doing something that none of them were able to accomplish?
I think it means everything, and I think it means everything because they've been included. You know, the Blues have done a remarkable job in trying to find guys who wore that uniform and to have them involved in any way they can. And I think the fact that when you get out of the game and the cheering stops and the paychecks aren't as big, all you have is memories and the hope that somebody remembered what you did. And with the Blues and how they've handled this, it's just been remarkable. And, you know, the Cardinals do the same thing with their alumni. But I think overall this is something that they will cherish for the rest of their lives.
I don't think there's a better alumni in the National Hockey League.
And they've helped accomplish this. They're the reasons that giant video board is hanging above the ice. They're the reasons so many kids in St. Louis are playing hockey. So many kids come to games with their families. Amy, we saw the other night, it's a testament. We're here for the watch party, Claves, and Chris Zimmerman said in intermission with us that the watch parties, after the first one, they said 70% of the people at that watch party had not been to a regular season game or a playoff game this year, and they came down to be a part of this. And that's because of alumni and because of what's been built, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely, I use the word life-changing and community-changing, because you're going to get young kids who are new fans, who fall in love with the sport, who start playing. You may have the next Austin Matthews come out of St. Louis. Goodness knows we've seen what this city has produced as far as hockey talent and making waves in the NHL draft. And you look at the scene outside surrounding Enterprise. You look at the scene downtown. I mean, what this is, as the alumni have said, as Brett Hull and Chris Pronger and Bernie Federko have said on the big screen, that this is more than hockey. And I've said it once. I feel like I'll say it 100 more times. This journey, this Blues success so far, is so personal to this city right now.
Yeah,
and every single Blues fan feels it personally.
You know, I was talking to somebody today who reminded me the only two rinks in St. Louis other than the arena was the one in Forest Park and Winterland. That's where the Blues used to practice at, which is now, I think, a furniture store or a rug store or something.
But, of course it is.
But, you know, it's amazing how far we've come. And, and I think Amy touched on the fact that, you know, these guys built this thing. I mean, they were having hockey schools and going out and making appearances. They did all the things that you would hope that your players could do to promote the sport, and I don't know if anybody's ever done a better job than what St. Louis Blues have done.
And the cool part is it's not just the big names. It's not just Brett Hull and Bernie Federko and Chris Pronger. It's guys like Jeff Brown and Jamie Rivers, guys who are spending from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. every day coaching these young kids that are making it to the NHL.
Scotty Upshaw now is going on podcasts and TV around the country telling anyone that'll listen about this city and about this team.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a cool thing about this city, and I'll leave you with this, Claves, for a city that I don't want to say could use a break, but it's gone through some stuff over the last couple of years.
Yeah,
and I know.
But you know what? I know what you're saying. I was never in the pity party business. You know, I live in the now. But I agree that, you know, it's nice to have a breath of fresh air compared to all the things that have happened, especially sports-wise.
And I don't even mean that. I just think you hope that this sparks positive momentum. And whether it's kids playing hockey or if it's you know, the new rink that's being built, just what's been happening over the last couple of years with the Winter Classic and this run and the All-Star Game, with MLS maybe coming down the street, you hope that sports can be a vehicle to get people fired up to be a part of something. And that's, you know, when I see 18,000 people in here four different nights watching a road game on a giant screen, it's pretty cool. People want to be a part of something, right?
I agree with you. And everybody, you know, I don't care what zip code you grew up in, you're all following this. And I think that's what brings a community together.
Hey, Great seeing you, man. Enjoy tonight.
Good to see you.
We'll probably bug you later. If this thing's
it's
in like the third overtime, you might be hosting the intermission.
Chaser and I decide we're going to bring IV bags in case we get too dehydrated. So we'll be good.
That's Mike Claiborne. We'll take a break in a couple of minutes. But before we do that, we are going to keep the party rolling here. We've got a great guest list, and we're going to chat with EJ Raddick of NHL Network here in a moment. But guys, it's incredible to see.
I love,
you know,
what's going on
in this city. Yeah, and like you guys said, like it doesn't just have to be Brett Hull or Wayne Gretzky. Like,
well,
it's anyone, whether you played here a season or
we're going to have
decade.
Jeff Brown too on the first intermission, and it's going to be fun because he's one of the main guys that got Matthew and Brady Tkachuk and a couple of the other St. Louis kids into the NHL because he was coaching them, you know, as they were kids and as they were players. So I mean, that's the coolest part of seeing the alumni grow to this point, and you're seeing the repercussions of it, and you're going to get more of it from this season alone.
It's great to have EJ Raddick from NHL Network on with us now, fresh off of the set downstairs in front of the building. And
EJ, warm out there.
Thanks for joining us, man. And
thank you.
I imagine this has had to be a blast for you guys. NHL Network does such a great job. You can watch coverage before and after every Stanley Cup final game, at least two more games, maybe one more game.
Maybe one.
Man, what's it been like to be in these two cities? Obviously, Boston, one of the great sports cities, I think, in the world.
Yeah.
And St. Louis, that has been so starved for this, has had success with the Cardinals, but is now getting a taste of the hockey world with its eyes on St. Louis in the month of June. What's the last, I guess, couple of weeks been like for all of you?
It's been great. I mean, two really great sports cities, two passionate fan bases, and you're right, here in St. Louis, it's been a long time coming. You know, I guess we have to, you can count those early runs to the Stanley Cup final, but that was a different time. They were in a division or a conference with all the expansion teams. They were the best of that bunch, really didn't have much hope of actually winning the Stanley Cup, and we fast forward to today where they're one game away from winning it. They've had some really good teams here over many, many years. And in the Western Conference over the years, there was always somebody there, whether it was the Colorado Avalanche or the Detroit Red Wings or the Dallas Stars. There was always somebody there that made it difficult for the Blues. I mean, I thought going back,
I was watching you guys earlier, Bernie Federico rattling off some of the roadblocks they ran into in the 80s.
Great. And then you had the Oilers and, you know, in the Western Conference in the 80s. I mean, good luck with that. there was always somebody in the way. I mean, I thought the team in I guess it was 90 or 91, I thought that team had a great chance to win. And then they made kind of a crazy trade where they traded a bunch of players to Vancouver for Garth Butcher and Dan Quinn. And that kind of derailed that group, I thought, a little bit. But I thought that team had a great chance to win that year. That was the Hull and Oates years, I believe. So they've had some terrific teams, some terrific players here. And now this year it's kind of all come together in spectacular fashion since January the 4th, when they kind of turned things around.
EJ, I'm curious because people get caught up in the playoff run that this team's going through right now, but if you sit there and think back of a team that made those offseason moves of Ryan O'Reilly, Pat Maroon, Tyler Bozak, but more importantly, what jumps out to me is the trade deadline. When the team was where they were, started to try and get on a little bit of a run, but Doug Armstrong said, no, this team still has something left. That says a lot about a general manager and the trust that he has in his team to not only stay where they're at, but go on a run like they have.
Yeah, you know, at the start of the season, when I looked at their team with the moves they made, I really liked the moves. I liked they really shored up their center position by adding O'Reilly, who I really liked. I thought that was a terrific deal on the day they made it in July. I thought it was just a great deal to have someone like that you could add to your mix. I knew he was going to be rejuvenated and looking for a fresh opportunity. Tyler Bozak's a really versatile centerman that could slide and be a two center, really a good three center, could be a four center if you need him. But I thought that was an area over the last few years that they weren't quite as good down the middle, and I thought they really shored it up. And I still had the question mark about the goaltending.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jake Allen had a number of chances over the last several years and just seemed like he couldn't be consistent enough to give them the saves they needed at the times they needed them. They had the bad start. They made the coaching change. Doug Armstrong was talking about making a lot of moves. You guys are here. You remember. They were talking about moving guys out. And the story I heard was that Craig Berube basically said after once he got this team playing better, it's like, don't do it, Doug. Don't make any moves. We just need a few saves. We're playing really well. They finally turned it over to Jordan Binnington, give him that opportunity, and it took off. So I like their group, as you mentioned, and I think Doug was wise. At the deadline, you don't want to do anything silly. I think they only added, like, Michael Delzato was a depth defenseman, which was a smart move, too, because you never know. Look what's happened to Boston.
Well, and he jumped in at the regular season.
There you go. You have injuries, and you never know when you're going to need a defenseman. Yeah. There's never enough defensemen on your team, and especially come playoff time. So once Binnington came in, you know, to me, he is like he has been the person or the thing that has made everything else about the Blues grow. Because when you have good goaltending, all those other parts of your game, you feel so much better about it. So Binnington has been a great story, and the Blues have just taken off.
You've seen this team play 2 months of playoff hockey now, and you've watched them, as we all have, with increasing focus. Now that they're playing Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, is there still an element of surprise where you watch a game, you watch the lineup that's out there, and you think, man, I still wasn't expecting that.
Not at this point. Not at this point. I mean, they have found ways to win in all kinds of situations. I really like them going into the playoffs. You know, I thought their hardest, you know, when I looked at the bracket when we started, right, I really liked them against Winnipeg. I liked the way they'd finished the season. I said, I think they can beat Winnipeg. Because I didn't really love the way Winnipeg was playing. But I also thought Dallas could beat Nashville. Mm-hmm. And that's the series I looked at. And I said, boy, Dallas seems to have St. Louis's number a little bit. And as it turned out, that went 7 games into double overtime. But once they got through that, they got into San Jose. San Jose is a really good team, but they had some injury issues. They've just been playing this, you know, we talk about the Conn Smythe. Everybody's talking about the Conn Smythe if they win, right? It's hard to pick one guy, right? Well, the reason is because everybody has pulled
five
the rope.
Guys
and
have done it.
You guys watched it all here, right? You've seen it night after night. It's some nights it's Sundquist, some nights it's Shen, some nights it's Parayko, some nights it's Binnington. It's been a different person almost all the time, and that's the wonderful thing about team sports. When you have that in this game, you really got something special.
I think it's just symbolic of the way this team has gone about this, DJ. And, you know, for all of the excitement in the summer, you look at some of the guys that they brought in. Pat Maroon, I think, a perfect example of kind of the story of this team. He comes back, tons of excitement. Things don't go well all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All eyes on Pat. He's answering questions every day. Then things start to turn, and, you know, now it's, well, do we bring him back? Jay Bouwmeester, I know, was recovering from hip surgery. He was a whipping boy for a while. Then he gets an extension. Craig Berube, I'm not really sure fans knew much about him other than that he was on the staff and was, you know, the Wolves coach for a while as coach of these guys.
And he was a tough guy.
Yeah.
When he played, right?
And Bernie made that comparison, too. He said it reminds me of some of those teams in the 80s. It's just a lot of pieces that fit well. And and for Armstrong and his staff, you know, more than not adding, not to sell any of these pieces, because every player, it seems like, has had a moment over the last 4 months that has led to this team being here.
Yeah, and, you know, Craig Berube deserves, another guy deserves so much credit. I mean, he came in, he identified the problem. I know we had him on our show on the NHL Network, and he talked about, hey, I had to fix. I said, what was the first thing? And he goes, I had to fix the locker room. Because you had some new pieces in here, and you had some guys who came in, and some guys were in shifting roles. He was able to do that. And as I mentioned earlier, when Binnington came in, it really took off. But Craig came in and just has done a great, great job with this team. They all play for one another. They don't get rattled. It'll be real interesting to see tonight out there. I mean, this is a certain situation. These kids, these players, they grow up dreaming of this opportunity. So it's hard to manage your emotions, I would imagine, in this situation. But Craig Berube has done a terrific job of managing everything for this group. And teams are oftentimes a reflection of their leaders. I think Craig, and also having Larry Robinson with this team too, I've had the good fortune of being around Larry going back to when he was coaching in New Jersey, watched his playing career in Montreal and Los Angeles, and just such a calming presence and just little tweaks he could add to the mix. So they've got a really good group all the way through here, and it's been special.
EJ, I'm curious too, because we talk so much about St. Louis, but on the flip side of this, it's going to be a tough matchup because Boston has a core of guys that have been here before, down 3-2, not only against the Toronto Maple Leafs this series, but back in 2011, and they put up 2 against Vancouver in Game 6 and 7 and won the Stanley Cup. So they know what it takes to get past a Game 6 elimination.
Yeah, and, you know, they played a pretty darn good game the other night. I mean, they were right in that game. They had a wide variety or a wide disparity in the shots.
Without really having their best guys play their best game, right?
Yeah, I thought that, you know, they had a lot, especially early in the first period. They really came out, played really strong. I think that was Jordan Binnington's best period in the series. He had to be really good. And the Blues came out in that second period, that really fast first minute, right? They caught the Bruins on their heels, a couple of quick shifts. They end up getting a goal. It kind of changed the dynamic of a very low-scoring game. But you're right. The Bruins know what it takes. And, you know, I'm sure that they're not going to be intimidated by this. They've gone into Toronto this year in a Game 6, won there. They've gone into some loud and tough buildings in Columbus and Carolina. They already won in this building once. So the Bruins will, I would imagine, bring their best game. And should be a fun night. I mean, this is so much exciting. You guys know it. You live here. You understand it. You've watched it. You've lived it. You've had the heartbreak. A lot of the people listening, they've gone through all that. You know, some of it is like, you know, young children or this is like great for them. They're walking into this. But there's other people who are like, you know, adults in their 40s or 50s or 60s that lived through all the Monday Night Miracle and all this kind of crazy stuff. Team almost going to Saskatoon like in the yep. 80s, right? And for them tonight, there's so much excitement to be here with this opportunity tonight. So it's going to be a heck of a night. And we'll just see how it plays out there. We all know hockey can be a funny game.
The great Ken Dryden said the greatest demand placed on a goaltender is mental. And a goalie yes. can be his own worst yeah. enemy and deals with unique neuroses. But Jordan Binnington is legendarily composed. Yeah. You like what you see from him? And do you expect anything different from tonight from the rookie?
No, I don't. I mean, he said it, right? The famous line, do I look nervous? And I, you know, we had that clipping it on today, and it was so funny the way he said it because it was so deadpan. He did not, you know, he knew exactly the message he was trying to get across. He's been able to bounce back in every situation, and he'll go out and play his best game tonight. And if the team plays well in front of him, if they're disciplined, don't take a lot of penalties, they'll have a great chance to win. And I expect Jordan will do what he does. He likes to challenge and get out. If the defense plays well and doesn't allow the Bruins to make those east-west passes and kind of get that puck across the crease and make it hard for Binnington, he'll make those original saves. If they break down in front of him, it'll be more of a struggle. But Jordan has been, I mean, what can you say about him since he's got here? He's been near perfect when you think about a guy coming into a situation that just a couple of years ago had been asked to go to the East Coast Hockey League.
Yeah.
So this is a great story. I don't think we've had a rookie be the Conn Smythe since Cam Ward
wow.
in 2006 with Carolina. So this is a situation, if they do indeed win, maybe Jordan ends up with that, which will be more lucrative for him down the road because his contract is up at the end of this season. So he's going to do well. He's going to do well.
EJ, appreciate it again. Catch NHL tonight before and after every Stanley Cup final game. I know you guys, the broadcast, don't root for anything. We're going to chat with Doc Emmerich next hour. He did say, Chris, our crew gets paid by the game.
Yes,
so
they do.
Don't tell St. Louis they may want a Game 7.
That's a pretty good doc. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Well, that is well done.
Thanks to EJ Raddick.
All
We're
right,
back
guys.
In a moment
Have
on
fun.
KMOX.
BGA56 battery-powered trimmer. When you buy the BGA56 blower set with battery and charger, find your Father's Day gift at steeldealers.com. Offer valid at 6/30/19 at participating dealers while supplies last. See dealer for details. This is St. Louis's News Radio. KMOX, KECK HD3, St. Louis. America's sports voice. A radio.com station.
The following is a special KMOX sports presentation.
Gunnarsson to O'Reilly to Gunnarsson. He scores!
Welcome to the Club Fitness Expanded Pre-Game Show.
Boom, boom, Gunnarsson!
Club Fitness. Join Club Fitness in June for only 24 cents.
It couldn't happen to a better guy. You know, he practices that shot all the time in pre-game skates, so it's good to see it go in.
The Club Fitness Expanded Pre-Game Show is on now on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
We're going to get a real good game out of the Boston Bruins. They're going to be desperate for sure, and they're going to push. And, you know, we talked about we have to match that desperation. And like I said, bring that momentum from game four to game five and, you know, go play.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming.
Johansson and DeBrusque over the line, looking for the trailer. It's there. They shoot it on, and a save. Binnington, Krejci, centering, slap shot on, another save. Binnington, he's made 15 in the first.
You know, we knew they were going to come hard, and first period was huge.
And now Braun near side, at the line. Petrangelo gets it back to the goal, centered, backhander, they score! What a play, and Ryan O'Reilly gives the Blues a 1-0 lead 55 seconds in.
This looks like the Ryan O'Reilly from November and December. The Ryan O'Reilly that's not only scoring points, but the stick checks, the pokes, keeping plays alive, and ultimately as well, his faceoff. They've been terrific here tonight again.
Perron into the circle, trying to center, they score! David Perron bounced it off the pad of Rask, and the St. Louis Blues take a 2-0 lead. 9:24 to go, third period of play. And here come the Bruins. They get it in, Corrali shooting, toe save, Bennington. Shin to the point, Chara holds it in, bouncing puck gone, and Bennington the save.
This guy right here, Binner, I think played unbelievable in that first when we didn't really have our legs and we were kind of caught on our heels a bit. You know, we were able to get through when they had some, obviously, some really great A chances and some huge saves, and we just hung on.
Bruins win it again, they slap it to the goal, glove save, puck knocked loose, Steen has it, Steen will clear, and you can bring out the Zamboni. The St. Louis Blues have won game five. A 2-1 win in Boston, and the Blues will come home to game six, one win away from a Stanley Cup championship, the hardest win in franchise history, coming up this weekend.
City's been waiting a long time for this. You can see the buzz around the city, and driving to the game, it's pretty fun to see. You got the Cardinals guys up there too, and it's what the city's about, right? It's a great sports city, underrated sports city, in my opinion. Fans are great, and they never give up on us all year. Didn't give up on us here in the playoffs. We've been down. They just keep on cheering, keep on supporting us, and we're putting on the best effort we can for them.
They're dancing on Market Street. They're bouncing on Clark Street. Hall of Fame Plaza, they're loud there too. And his crowd is taking a roof off Enterprise Center.
Thank you.
Doors are open and the Blues are home. Hour and 20 minutes away from puck drop game six of the Stanley Cup final. One win separating the Blues and the first Stanley Cup championship for the organization. Second hour of our extended pregame coverage. Chris Raby, Alex Ferrario, Amy Mark scores with you. Sam Masterson, Ben Boyd helping us out. Ryan Schulte in the booth. Zach Schmidt back at our KMOX and Network Studios, and man, Blues with a chance tonight to win the Cup in front of their home fans. We set the scene earlier. I can imagine, guys, it's only getting crazier and crazier and crazier out there, and you know, regardless of what happens tonight, regardless of what happens over the next 4 hours, 5 hours, maybe more, depending on how people's hearts can take it, you are playing the most home games in a season and postseason mathematically that you could play, which is a pretty remarkable thing. And, and the way the Blues have gone about closing out the first three series at home, the way they've gone about it without home ice, the way they've gone about it, as we just talked with E.J. Raddick from NHL Network, in terms of having everyone a piece of the puzzle, pretty remarkable, and everyone feels a part of it, I think, from you know, fans in the building to outside on Market Street to wherever in the world you're watching this game and listening to this game.
Yeah, it's true. And, I mean, they're expecting over 100,000 people outside tonight just downtown. And then you top it off with the 20,000 people here at Enterprise Center and then however many. My wife's over at Ballpark Village, and she said it's at max capacity right now to have
already,
people there. So it's just going to be an unreal moment. And I said this last night. We had a Sports Open line, and I put this out there, but it really puts it into perspective if you think about how long these fans truly have waited for a Stanley Cup championship. Listen to this. So the Washington Capitals hold the record now because they won the Cup for the first time last season for playoff appearances at 28, for playoff series at 47, and playoff games at 275. The Blues, if they were to accomplish their first Stanley Cup this season, this will be their 42nd playoff appearance, their 72nd playoff series, and guys, their 390th playoff game. Think about that, 125 more games than what the Capitals did before their first Stanley Cup.
Well, and it just also says that they've been really, really good the whole time, right? It's not like Cubs teams I grew up rooting for that had no chance of making the playoffs every year. Like, This is the Blues team that
you expected to like the Cardinals.
Yeah, in the 51 years that they've been playing hockey, they've been really good. They've been making the playoffs.
Especially in the 90s, right? Like, we always expected a playoffs in the 90s with this team.
Right. You know, and I'm glad you brought up those numbers, because the numbers are fun to look at with this team because of the history, the 52-year history. There are so many records that they're setting for the franchise. But also, as you mentioned, Chris, because they're so good, they're setting records for the National Hockey League. If the Blues were to win tonight, they'd become only the fourth team in National Hockey League history to clinch all four series at home.
It's amazing. And you know, it's not lovable losers. It's probably more frustrating because there have been so many times you felt like you were so close, can't get any closer than this. And we're getting closer and closer to dropping the puck for Game 6. Doc Emrick, the great NBC Sports voice of the NHL, joins us next to give us his perspective. And then Bob Plager joins us live in the booth. Chris Raby, Alex Ferrario, Amy Markscore is with you. Our extended pregame continues. Don't go anywhere. We're back with Doc after this on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Club Fitness Expanded Pre-Game Show. Club Fitness. Join Club Fitness in June for only 24 cents.
To O'Reilly, to Gunnarsson. He scores! Boom, boom, Gunnarsson!
On your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
The great Mike Emrick is with us before Game 6 of the Blues and Bruins in St. Louis. Doc, what have you made of the first five games we've seen so far? From an entertainment standpoint, from a hockey standpoint?
Oh, it's all been wonderful, hasn't it? Except for a few things that have sort of marred it and made more headlines than we really like to see at this time of year. But I noticed that you're wearing a vest. Now, is that waterproof? Have you really prepared well for the possibilities ahead for the evening? You need to learn a little more about what possible clinches mean when you have to go wading into a dressing room, Chris. You know, you could get, well, I guess you don't care. You've got all summer to dry out, don't you?
We've had a few of them down the road at Busch Stadium.
I'll bet
so,
you have,
yes. We've been prepared, but I guess the irony is, Doc, that although only a couple of blocks separate these two buildings, 11 championships is what separates the two organizations.
Yes, that's true. And so this could be a monumental night, couldn't it? I got a chance to talk with Bob Plager this morning, and that's always a great experience. And he seems nervous, but that's the way it is with guys that have wanted something so badly for so long. And so this is a terrific day for St. Louis, and if it turns out wonderful, well, great. We don't have a horse in the race. We're just looking forward to more good hockey, and we trust that it'll move along smoothly and that all will be well. One thing I've known from the time that my Pirates lost in the fifth and deciding game a few years ago in the last meaningful game they ever played to St. Louis here, is that the Cardinals fans, and I'm sure the Blues fans, are very gracious to those of us who lose. So if that turns out to be the case, I'm sure that they'll behave very well tonight. And if it means a seventh game, you know, most of our personnel here are paid by the game, and so they'll be happy. And then whoever turns out to win this thing, it will have been a wonderful series, and it will have been played the way I think the sport was meant to be played, like big guys tend to play it. It's an aggressive game, and there's a cost to pay for wanting to handle the puck, and both of these teams have played it that way. It's been a lot of fun.
What is it about the hockey community, Doc, that there is such a strong bond between the alumni and the teams, and especially in St. Louis and Boston, incredible alumni, whether it's a Bobby Plager or a Kelly Chasey or a Bernie Federico, guys that really seem to still be as big a part of the organization as ever and as big a part of the sport as ever?
Well, the communities take them in, and they move here, and they wind up putting down roots. And so they wind up expressing the love for the community that the community had for them when they came here. And you find this not only in NHL cities, but in places like Hershey and Fort Wayne and Rochester, where guys come to play hockey there. They may not go any higher, but for their families and everything else, they establish roots, and the roots lead to alumni associations, and all of that leads to a bonding with the team. And so it becomes like family. And that's why I noticed that there were quotes from, you know, as famous players as Wayne Gretzky, who once wore the blue note himself, and guys that have been a part of all the generations here. And it's a wonderful feeling in both of these cities to have guys that have worn the note and not accomplished what they wanted to, but can now hang on to these guys and hope that they can do it. And the same with the Spoke B in Boston.
Finally, from a storyline standpoint, from being around the cities, what's it been like for you, for everyone at NBC, to be in one of the great sports cities in the world in Boston, where championship banners seem to get rolled out every couple of months, and then on the flip side, be here in St. Louis, spend some time here in St. Louis? I know you've been here for big games before, but never in the month of June.
No, it's been magnificent, and I think the thing that latches all of us together at this time of the year is the quality of hockey that these two teams have played. And you get to a night when the Cup is going to be in St. Louis, and maybe it'll have to be taken back to Boston for a seventh game, and the caliber of hockey has been so good you don't want it to end. And those of us that really love the sport, yeah, we could use a rest over the summer, and then the players could too. But no sooner do you have four or five of those days after it's done and you start to look toward fall, and you just miss it so much, you want to see it start up again. It's been magnificent. You've been great hosts to us, and we thank you so much.
Doc, thanks so much. Have a great call tonight, and all the best. Appreciate the time.
We sure like having you guys, and what a gracious thing that Chris has done for John. And the fact that those two guys work together is just another in a myriad of stories that take place at this time of year. The same thing happened in Detroit with Ken Cal and Kenny Daniels, too. It's a wonderful thing when those announcers team up together and become part of one big family, too.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Doc Emrick being very generous with his time this morning after practice as we get ready for Game 6, Blues and Bruins. Guys, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll react to what Doc had to say and visit with Bobby Plager. Been waiting all series for this. That's next on our extended Blues pregame coverage at Enterprise Center. Chris, Alex, Amy, we're back with Bobby next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Club Fitness Expanded Pre-Game Show. Club Fitness. Join Club Fitness in June for only 24 cents.
To O'Reilly, to Gunnarsson. He scores! Boom, boom, Gunnarsson!
On your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
Our Blues pregame skate starts in 10 minutes. We're an hour away from puck drop. Chris, Alex, Amy with you. We've had a great guest list already. We're going to have fantastic guests and alumni coming in throughout the evening. The building is filling up, and finally, it's almost hockey time. Thanks to Club Fitness. Thanks for this extended pregame, guys. It's been nice to be able to pass the time for the last hour and 20 minutes rather than kind of look at each other and pace back and forth and wait for 6:30 to get here.
It's not fun sitting next to Amy during the game because there's just a lot of anxiety. And it's like sitting next to someone who you go to a scary movie with, because every time something happens in the game, it's just a straight punch to your arm.
Yes. Well, that's because we're supposed to stay calm.
We're supposed to stay unbiased.
Yes. So I just have to punch you in the arm. And that's where I channel
that might not
my
be about
energy.
The game either.
And what a thrill it is now to have the great Bobby Plager join us here in our booth as we are getting closer and closer to puck drop. Has it seemed like a long couple of days waiting for this game to get here, Bobby?
Waiting. It's been a long few days.
It's incredible watching and talking to everybody that's here. You know, we're spoiled to get to see you at the rink just about every day, but what's it been like to see all the alumni, all the friends, everyone converge on St. Louis, the hockey world come to St. Louis these last couple of weeks?
Well, it's been unbelievable, and you know, it's a city that deserves it, and to see all these people and everybody just so pumped up, the fans, to see what's going on. I mean, it's you know, for a while I was always just hoping let's get and win a Stanley Cup, have a parade, but what's going on here right now to see these fans, it is something, and to see all the alumni involved, it's great. They're more pumped up than maybe the players.
Bobby, how many hands do you think you've shaken over the last 48 hours?
Well, you shake a lot, and everybody's wishing you good luck, and, you know, they wish me good luck. I wish I was playing, but it's not me. It's the players. They need it.
Well, we saw the video after the Blues clinched their Stanley Cup position when they beat the San Jose Sharks, and a lot of emotions took over at that point for you and your family. I can only imagine what the emotions are right now being in a Stanley Cup final.
Well, the emotions are very high. Certain things happen, and yeah, you can get choked up a little more. And like I told them today, for some reason, the drive down here, Highway 40, 64, Oakland Avenue, I'm driving by, and I start thinking, you know, my brother, Noel Picard, just as I'm passing where the old arena went. So whether it's a sign or something, I don't know. But you get choked up because, you know, you're thinking hockey and, you know, my brother and those guys. And you look over where the old arena used to be.
Bobby, the players talk about how they have to focus on the game at hand, the first period. Now that you're here, where is your mind? Are you thinking about just the first period and the game at hand, or does your mind wander a little bit, like you said, about the history and where you've been and where this team could go tonight?
Well, you know, I try not to get ahead. Like people coming in here, they talk about, oh, a parade or something. You know, let's not get ahead. I mean, you got a game to play, and my mind right now is just get out there, get the good start. It's the first period, and the 60-minute mark, maybe I'll start thinking a little different, but get out there and it's, you know, it's a win. I know what the players are going through. I have a feeling for them, and it's going to be tough. And it's Boston is a tough team, and, you know, they were up 3-0. You look back, they were up 3-0 on us, you know, 49 years ago, and they thought they had it won. They did in overtime, but it took, you know, we tied it up in overtime. So there's no quit to hockey players.
Bobby, you mentioned your brother who's got a front row seat up there with you and the Raptors. To have your family or your grandkids here, what does this mean to you as a father, as a grandfather, these last couple of months?
Well, to me, to see my daughter, she's, you know, as excited as I am, I think she is, my daughter and my son's here tonight. And the grandkids, I mean, it's just great, but just to see them and they look up at their grandpa and
we see you take them out on the bench after every game from up here, man.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they're so proud of me. And, I mean, that's what it's all about. They're very fortunate. That's something you don't think of when you start the game and just to play. But everything that's happened to me has been a plus. It's something you didn't expect or you didn't think about. So when something new happens, it's a plus. It's great.
What makes you most proud about this team? The way they've defied the odds to get to this point this year.
Well, when I'm proud, I love the coach, and he's an old time school, old school, over 1,000 games. Had to fight every year he went to training camp. He had to fight to make a hockey team, and he's brought on the players the way he played. I'm so proud of just to see the way the guys and the way they talk, and to be successful, to be a winner, you have to have trust in one another, and to see these players, what they do, they trust one another. And you do that, you're going to be very successful. I mean, our defense trusts the forwards are going to do this. The forwards trust one another, and everybody's playing that way. So, I mean, that's what I'm proud of, is the way we play as a team.
Well, I think I speak for everyone in saying what you and the alumni have done for this city, for this organization. It's incredible. Not just the excitement around this team, but, you know, the past couple of decades, what so many people have made this organization, this beautiful building. Kids that'll be here with their parents, their grandparents, kids that are playing hockey throughout the city. It's remarkable, regardless of what happens tonight and the rest of this season, however long it is. You guys all have a great part in that, so I'm glad that so many alumni have been able to be here and be a part of the celebration.
Well, it's great to see where this city has come from when the first year I got here. And you know, one of the best things was the watch party the other night we had here when the team was in Boston. When you look around, you don't realize, but then when you see, there was more kids, families here that night, the parents with their kids. And I mean, that's just great to see. It was the building was packed, but a lot of young kids in this building. So, you know, I was here when there was one rink besides the arena. There was one other rink and no hockey. And to see what goes on now and kids from St. Louis getting drafted in the first round. So it makes me a little proud what's happening here.
Some of these young kids could be spoiled if they, like, you know, see a Stanley Cup tonight. It's like, man, this happens every year, right?
Well,
but enjoy it.
Well, we did here. You know, we went 3 years in a row. We thought this was easy. We were going to do it, and it's 49 years later.
Bobby, enjoy it tonight. I know at some point we'll turn around, and hopefully you'll be back in this brown chair as that goal horn goes off. And regardless, just have an awesome night. Thanks for swinging by.
No, thank you, and let's go Blues.
That's Bobby Plager joining us as we wrap up our extended Club Fitness pregame. Don't go anywhere. Pregame skate is next. Alex and Amy will be back. Curbs, Joey as well. I'm Chris Raby. A big thanks to all of our guests. Thank you to Ben Boyd, as well as Sam Masterson, Ryan Schulte, and Zach Schmidt. Pregame right after this. Can you feel it, Blues fans? One win away. This is St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup Playoff Hockey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.